Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Light Outdoors. On the mic with you. Man, we've about made it through a Monday. I hope you've made it through there with me. I want to share a message. You know, we talk about Mondays being kind of mundane Mondays or trying to catch up Mondays or trying to recoup from the weekend. But, man, God just continues to pour some things in that I feel like are very pertinent. There is so much being spoken today. I believe of relevance in our society and in the voices that be that are speaking about the end times, that where we stand, what's going on in our nation, in our world, and in the spirit realm. And much is being spoken. And I really believe that we're at a time where we can no longer hesitate when God puts something on our heart that we feel has bearing on where we are today. We've got to speak it. And so I'm going to share with you a message that I put together that it may be a little lengthy for some of you for a Monday, but I'm going to speak it anyway. You're just going to have to bear with me. Without vision, people run amok. You ever heard that? It's biblical. Without vision, people run amok. Okay, maybe that particular saying comes out of the MOV, which is my own version. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 29:18, and I have spoken much about this piece of scripture in the past, but Proverbs 29:18 in the New King James Version, and it speaks it a little bit differently in each version, but it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." But well, what is this proverb really saying to us? And why is it such a profound statement today? Here's why. The Hebrew word for vision is hazon, and I don't really know how to pronounce that. It's spelled hazon, H-A-Z-O-N. It refers to prophetic revelation. Now, this is the kind of vision that a prophet would see, the kind of word that a prophet would deliver. The prophetic revelation is what the word vision means in the Hebrew words. The Hebrew word for perish, para, means to make someone go out of control, to run wild, to cast off restraint, or in my version, to run amok. In the New Living Translation, that same piece of scripture says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. In the English Standard Version, the ESV, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. In the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB, without revelation, people run wild, but one who follows divine instruction will be happy. So what does it mean that without vision, people perish? Again, coming back to the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, some have used this verse to emphasize the importance of vision casting in leadership or for a particular ministry or even a church to cast vision. Well, where there's no vision, you know, we run amok. We go astray. Without a long-term plan, without vision, people are doomed to wander aimlessly. So it's not such a bad idea for a church to cast a vision. Matter of fact, our pastor just gave some vision. He didn't really cast a new vision. He just simply said, this is where we are. This is where God has us. This is where we're going. He shared the vision of the church that he believes is God's vision for that church, and I'm in total agreement. It was a great message yesterday, and so I'm not picking on that. But what he spoke of actually spawned me to do some research on my own, and I came up with this. Of course, it's true that having an idea to where one's headed obviously helps us in getting there. If we don't have any idea where we're going, how are we going to go? You understand? So vision casting is very important, but Proverbs 29:18 is not talking about having a business or a ministry vision. There are other translations of the Bible that help clarify the point, Proverbs 29:18, for modern readers today, that the New International Version puts it this way, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instruction. That ESV version, where there's no prophetic vision, I like how that says that, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The vision is in this verse refers to a divine communication, like from a dream or from a revelation or from a prophecy. That same Hebrew word in Proverbs 29:18 is found in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, in the context of the rarity of the word of the Lord and the infrequency of prophetic visions in that time frame. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 in the Amplified says, "Now the boy Samuel was attending to the service of the Lord under the supervision of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. Visions, that is, new revelations of divine truth, were not widespread." Now, the rest of this passage of Scripture, God called to Samuel. Samuel was a young boy. He was in the service of Levi. He was to become, actually, we know the history of Samuel. He would eventually become king. But he was in the presence of Levi, the priest, and he was being trained up, okay? So here he is, a young boy, and he would hear the, voice of God call out to him, and he'd run to the priest Eli and ask, "You called me?" And Eli would send him away and said, "I did not call you." He would speak to this boy. It happened a second time. It even happened a third time. And then Eli, the priest, realized God was calling out to Samuel. So he gave the instructions for Samuel to say, "Here am I, Lord, your servant is listening." And God began to speak to Samuel. If you go back and look at that whole passage of Scripture, it's really a cool story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, it's a great, great word in there of how God begins to speak to Samuel as a young boy. This same word is used to introduce the prophetic books of Isaiah, the prophetic book of Obadiah, and several of the visions of Daniel use this same word, vision, or hazon in the Hebrew. So through all of this, we must come to an understanding that a lack of vision then is a lack of God's revelatory word. It's a lack of God's revelation. So Proverbs 29:18, that the people perish where there is no revelation, where there is no revelatory word from the Lord. This word translates perish to cast off restraint. In the original means to loosen and to expose or uncover. This same Hebrew word is used in Exodus 32:25 during the golden calf incident. Remember this? Moses had gone up the mountain. He comes down and Moses saw the people run wild. They'd cast off restraint, and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. It's Exodus 32. Again, it's another very great story to take in there. It also is used in Leviticus regarding uncovering one's head or letting one's hair hang loose. It's maybe likely where we get our modern term, letting your hair down. You can see that in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 6, chapter 13, verse 45, chapter 21, verse 10, if you want to look those up. Other proverbs use the same word to denote ignoring or neglecting instruction. Proverbs 1:25, Proverbs 8:33, 13:18, and 15:32. And it even denotes avoiding the path of the wicked in Proverbs 4, verse 15. With this, we understand that without the word of God, people are loose. That is, they go their own way. They live without restraint. Ultimately, living in such a way will lead to death, because to ignore God's way is to ignore the way of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God," that is, his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, "is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what is the remedy to such lethal waywardness? The next part of Proverbs 29:18 tells us, "Blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instructions." We are blessed when we keep God's directives. Psalms 19 elaborates on the perfection of and trustworthiness of God's word. His precepts are right, giving joy to the heart. This word comes up from time to time. What is a precept? A precept is a commandment. It's an instruction or an order intended as a rule of action or conduct, especially a practical rule guiding behavior, guiding technique, etc. In the Scriptures, the word which is translated precept is a general term of responsibility God places upon his people. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, Psalms 19:8. David, the psalmist here, goes on to describe God's decrees as more precious than gold and sweeter than honey in verse 10. He writes that, "By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward," verse 11. Lest anyone be confused, this is not a call to legalism. Life is not found in our ability to obey a list of do's and don'ts. Within Psalms 19, we see indications of relationship with God. David talks about the fear of the Lord being pure in verse 9. He calls himself God's servant in verse 13, and he calls God his Lord, my rock and my redeemer in verse 14. When Jesus named the greatest commandment, he referred to the command to love God. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34 says, "Then one of the scribes, an expert in Mosaic law, came up and listened to them arguing with one another, and noticing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is first and most important of all?' Verse 29, Jesus answered, 'The first and most important one is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord.' In verse 30, 'And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul,'" that's your life, "'and with all your mind,'" your thoughts and your understandings, "'and with all your strength.' This is the second, that you shall unselfishly love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Verse 32, the scribe said to him, admirably answered, teacher, you truthfully stated that he is one and there are no other but him, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to unselfishly love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. 34 says, when Jesus saw that it answered thoughtfully and intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one would dare to ask him any more questions. Or to love the Lord our God. I love verse 31. Or verse 30, it says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. There ain't nothing left. You realize that, right? That's everything of you. Your mind, your heart, your soul, your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Our obedience to God and our keeping of his word flow from a relationship in which we are loved by God and we love him in return. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10, beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. For God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. By this, the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent his Son, his one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be a propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice and the satisfying offering for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement for justice against sin and placating his wrath. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Jesus has come into the world as the living Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. In verse 14 of John, it says, John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the word Christ became flesh, and he lived among us, and we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace, truth, absolutely free of deception. God has also given us the written word, the Bible. When we fail to read God's word, when we fail to live it out in our lives, we become people without vision. When we ignore God's word, when we begin to live without restraint, to run wild, to let our hair down, which will lead to our own peril. Conversely, when we heed God's word, we're blessed. John chapter 15, 9 through 11, Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. God has given us his word. He calls us to be faithful to it. In keeping God's word, we will find joy in him. And I guess kind of my whole shot at this message, what keeps burning in my heart, the more we share truth, the more we put God's word in front of people, quit arguing with people, quit arguing about who this or who that, and simply respond with God's word. People will argue against God's words. They'll throw rocks at you for sharing God's word. The Bible says you'll be hated because of me. That's what Jesus said. He said, you're going to be hated because of me, because of your relationship with me. Listen, it's a constant barrage of negativity coming towards anyone who speaks truth today. There's a constant barrage of conflict against the Word of God today. It's a given that this is where we are in our end times. Share the Word. Stand strong on the Word. The only way you can is if you know the Word. You're going to have to get in it. You're going to have to listen to messages. You're going to have to get in the Word, read His Word, let Him speak to you, let the Holy Spirit guide you, let the Holy Spirit put the words in your mouth when it's time for you to speak, but speak truth in everything you speak. Proverbs 29:18 in the Amplified Version says, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His Word. Let me say that again. Where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His Word, the people are unrestrained. They run amok. They've let their hair down. They're running wild. And they're going to perish in their lost ways. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. There's a passage that Ron and I love to share quite frequently, and I've shared it in many messages recently, that the only way people are going to hear the Word of God is if someone is sent. And the only way someone's going to be sent is if there's a preacher, if there's a messenger. The only way the Word of God is going to come out is if you become a messenger of Christ. And the only way you can become a messenger of Christ is to be sent by Him, by getting in His Word, accepting His ways, His will for your life, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and go and share with those who are lost. And there are many. There are many, and again, Jesus said, you may find yourself hated for the relationship you have with me. Some won't listen, but many will. Speak the Word of God. Get out, get involved, become a voice piece to this nation today. Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, before He ever formed in your mother's womb, God had already set you apart. He already knew you before He ever formed you, and He had set you apart to be a voice to this nation that we live in today. Yes, I understand He was speaking to Jeremiah in that time, but He's speaking to us today. This is our time. This is where we are called to. This is where we serve Him, and we are in desperate need of a voice piece to speak the truth of God into the darkness today, to shine a light to all who will hear. They may not receive, but they must hear. That's our role. It doesn't matter the consequence of the word. We are to speak it. That's our goal. That's our role. That's what we've been given to do. God can sort out the rest. Our desire and our role today is to speak the truth. Speak it with boldness. Speak it with accuracy. Be in God's Word. Understand what you're speaking. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Without a relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is going to be a rough haul. Get involved. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, and move you to wherever it is that you need to be. And let the Holy Spirit speak through you that truth might be told, that lives might be saved. Amen. Not up to us to save them. We're just the messenger. God bless you. Rhonda and I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following our podcast today. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you again real soon.